Vasconella to come up because she has plenty to share as well. It's quite intriguing how the Lord just fixes things around us, even when we're on the trip. And I wanted to put some slides up this morning and show you some pictures and stuff like that, and just tell the story of what happened to us. And as I pulled the PowerPoint presentation up, this heading was already there, Courage for the Fight. Because actually, if I get time at the end, I want to talk about having extraordinary courage. And Viv sent me an email last night about she'd been to IBTI and felt the word was about courage. And Lucy a couple of weeks ago talked about courage. And so there was like, I think, Lord, you want to say something about courage. You know, when the Holy Spirit brings your attention to something, on more than one occasion, perhaps two or three times, something comes up, you need to take note and say, Lord, this is something that you're saying to me. And that's part of our story, I guess. And you know that we flew out to the States, and we initially went to... I want to fill that in just a little bit. I want to back up a few months to February, that I had a dream. It was an incredibly vivid dream that when we walked out of the door of this place one morning, we walked into Bethel Church in Redding in California. And it was a very, very vivid dream. I won't go into all the detail, but we met people and talked with people and did some things. And I woke up from the dream and the Lord said, I'll give you the desire of your heart. And I knew it was that we would go to Bethel. So in faith, we booked a conference called Kingdom Culture. That's why we're wearing the bracelets, to prove we didn't go to Disneyland. We did go to Kingdom Culture Conference. And we booked the conference in faith. We didn't know who the speakers would be. We just knew that was where we should go. And this was on last week. And we thought, well, Lord, we've got to find the airfare somewhere. We might be able to scrape this together. And then when I went online and looked how much the airfares were, I kind of went, oh, that's a lot of money. It's an awful lot of money. And a week later, we got a gift that was enough to pay the airfares. So the Lord was in it from the beginning. And it was Gunilla's idea, actually, to say, well, we're going to America. We should see Andy and Rosie. Now, Houston is in Texas, kind of down here, and 2,000 miles up here is Redding in California. So it's like traveling the length of this country twice to go between the two. But aeroplanes work, kind of thing. So we spent a lot of time on aeroplanes. So we went to see Andy and Rosie. Andy was here only a few weeks ago. And they live in a place called New Harmony, actually, lovely name for a place. Tyler, Texas, this is their little house. There's another little house opposite where we stayed that they built on the land. This is a truck they had that was hammered by hailstones big as tennis balls. It's covered in huge dents, this car. But the insurance company wrote it off and they kept it because it's only got dents on it. So this is their house that they're not that long ago put up, this one, actually, with Andy and Rosie. And they're very special people to me. They've been special people to this church. We sent them out from here over 20 years ago to work with Youth of the Mission, Mercy Ships, in Tyler in Texas. So we've been to the base at Tyler with them. And their girls have grown up in America. And here's our lovely Rosie. And when I was homeless with kids as a single parent and had nowhere to go, this family bunked up in their house, moved around, and put me and my kids up in their house for several months. So they're very special to me, very loving people. And we met their children and had time with their kids, and they all send their love to you. Their kids are grown up. They've got kids. And the kids have got kids. So Rosie and Andy got grandchildren who love them dearly. It was great to meet them all. And Jenny and Michelle are very grown up. And Michelle particularly put us up in their house in Houston. We went to see the Space Center and a space shuttle and a Saturn V rocket. And we went 60 floors up in the J.P. Morgan building and looked out down over Houston and saw some amazing things, which I don't want to show all the slides now because it would take a long time. But they send their love, and it was a joy to spend time with them. We went to New Harmony Baptist Church on the Sunday morning, which is a very traditional Baptist church there. But absolutely lovely, lovely people, really lovely. They opened their hearts to us in a wonderful way. So then we went on from there. We flew on. It took two flights to get to California. And we were booked. We booked these a while ago. And the second flight, flying from San Francisco, is on a little plane, Brasilia Embraer or something, little turboprop plane, 40 seats on the plane. And we knew we had a four-hour layover in San Francisco. We thought, well, we'll get a meal and that'll be fine. And then when we got to San Francisco, I looked at the ticket and thought, the layover's nearly 7 hours. And he said, why is this? And I looked and thought, oh, the flight's later. So I went to their desk, the customer services desk, and said, what's happened? We've got this later flight. He says, oh, the earlier flight was cancelled. So you've been booked on that flight. And I did check with everybody. Our luggage was going to go all the way through to Reading, so we didn't have to go and collect it. And so I thought, okay, well, fine, we'll sit here. And then the gate moved, and we went to the other end of the airport for a different gate and sat there. And we looked, oh, look at this plane. Look, there's 10 people on standby. Look at this queuing up on standby. Thought, oh, well, thank you, Lord. So we headed up to the gate pretty quick because they board you in numbers. And we got a number, which we thought was a bit odd. And the guy said, you're not on this flight. You're on standby. And it's the last flight of the day. He said, well, I'll have to board other people and we'll see where. So I think you'll find our luggage is on the flight. He said, I'll check in a minute. So he went down and checked and found our luggage was on the flight. He said, well, I'd better put you on the flight. So we got put on the flight. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, you put us on the flight. So even though we checked at their desk and stuff like that, they hadn't told us. But we got on the flight. It was a bit later than we expected. So we got into Reading quite late. But we're on the flight. Thank you, Lord. I'm sad for the people who got left behind. But we were put on the airplane, and I thank the Lord for that. So we got to a hotel, and we'd booked and paid for a room that was a fairly economy room. And when we got to the hotel, we were greeted by a young lady called Taylor, doing about 11 o'clock at night, this is. And she says, oh, hi, are you here for the conference at Bethel, by any chance? We said, yeah, we're here for the conference. And she says, wow, you come from England. You're my hero, she says. That's amazing. She says, and then she looks, says, oh, we've allocated all the rooms at that rate, that the economy rooms. And the manager says, that's okay, just upgrade them. So we got put in a suite. And it's, the suite is as big as our daughter-in-law's flat. I kid you not. That, it doesn't look that big here, but that bed, you'd need to book a taxi to get from one side to the other of the bed. It's like four pillars across. It was lovely. It was good provision because it meant we had a kitchen area, microwave, huge bathroom, wardrobe, desk, lounge area. It was really, really super. So that was a blessing to us. And the next morning, we got up quite early. Had breakfast, an American breakfast. That was a new experience for us. Blueberry muffins, chocolate muffins, none of which I could eat, of course. Because some of you might know that I have celiac disease, and the doctors say it's incurable. The only way you can manage it is by a very strict diet. There's no cure for this disease. So I'd gone thinking, well, maybe I'll get some prayer for the arthritis I've got, you know, because that's something, and they have healing rooms there, and that will be good. So that morning we had a little walk out of the hotel and realised we're not going to get anywhere here without a car. The church that we're going to is only 2.5 miles from the hotel. You think, well, you could walk that. Except you've got to go up onto the freeway, down one junction, off one freeway, onto another freeway, down another junction, get off, and then up the hill. So you're not allowed to walk on the freeway for some reason. It's a bit like the motorway here. So we'd better get a car. We hadn't booked one because we thought it would be a way to save money. We saw you could hire bikes, but you can't ride bikes on the freeway either. So we phoned one place to book. Oh, yes, we'll help you at 2 o'clock. I thought, oh, it's a bit late, but OK, we'll get that at 2 o'clock. And we phoned them back at 2 o'clock. Oh, sorry, we've got no cars available at all. So I thought, we'll phone Budget Rental downtown. And he said, we've got one car available for you. You can have that one. So we got a cab downtown, picked up the car. And then we drove up to the church at Bethel. And here we are arriving at Bethel Church. So here it is. It's not a mega church like Joel Osteen's church in Texas, where there are perhaps 20,000 people to a morning service. This one, they only get 1,400 in each service, but they have three services. It's interesting when I say they're not a lot different to us, because it looks a lot like us, but just bigger. You have to get there an hour early if you want to get a seat in the service.
But one of the things that I really felt when we got into the actual sanctuary, and I think, oh yeah, it's going to be so big, it really felt homely. It didn't feel like, oh, I'm, you know, tiny little thing, and this is just enormous. You felt really at home. It was sort of just such a homely atmosphere, and it felt quite cozy, which really surprised me.
Yeah. So you notice we're wearing short sleeves and shorts and stuff. It was 37, 38, 39, 40 degrees. It was cooler than Houston, because Houston was hotter than that and much higher humidity. So we felt quite fresh there in the mountains here at Bethel. And it is in the mountains in North California. And I have to say, the church is on a hill, and you come off the freeway, round one corner, round another corner, and then you drive up this hill to the church. And as we rounded the road to come up the hill to the church, I just broke into tears, which I'd like you to do again, because just the sense of the goodness of God upon us and how awesome he was for us to take us to this place, and just feeling the presence and the goodness of God in the place. It is, by our standards, it's a big church, but it, like I said, it felt you felt really at home there, felt really, really close. Give you an idea, they have 80 departments in the church. They employ 500 people. Some of those are part-time. They have a $42 million budget. But for Kevin's encouragement here, they're short of money. Their program actually exceeds their budget expectation and they need to increase their giving, which is just like us. So even though it's bigger, the issues are the same. So there it is, Bethel Church. And so we hired this car. So the next morning we thought, well, we don't need to register for the conference until 3 o'clock. We'd noticed in the hotel they'd advertised some restaurants, because the hotel just provides breakfast, then you go out, everybody in America eats out. So you eat out for lunch or whatever. We noticed there was a pizza place that said gluten-free pizza. Thought, cool, that'll do for us, called Westside Pizza. We know you can get gluten-free at Pizza Hut as well, and they have those places as well. They have all kinds of stuff. I thought IHOP meant International House of Prayer. Perhaps it's International House of Pancakes in America. So but there you go. They have places that sell just pancakes. So we thought we'd take our hire car and we'd go up a mountain, which is nearby because it's just the views are just so spectacular and awesome from the church. We go up the mountain and we go to see the lake, Lake Shasta, which is a really big lake, feeds the water for most of Northern California. It's been very dry this year. So we took our car up the mountain. There's our lovely hire car. By our standards, it was quite a big car. By their standards, it looked tiny. You parked it against their big trucks and stuff, and it just looked minuscule. So we could fit it into compact spaces, but that's it's quite a big car. I got in the back and stretched my legs out. It was rather nice. And it's got a big V6 engine in and stuff. So we park on the mountain because we thought, here's a viewpoint. We'd driven up a twisty mountain road. Hadn't seen any other cars. Gone a few miles up the road. Viewpoint, we'll pull over and we take some photographs. Again, haven't got time to show you them all. But we've got some lovely pictures of the mountains. As I got out the car, I'd hate bulking my pockets. So I got the car keys and chucked them on the car seat because I wanted to get the camera phone in my hand and just shut the door. Well, in America, when you shut car doors, they lock. And they all lock. The whole car locks. Because we check the doors, the boot, and the whole car is locked. And we're up a mountain, parked in this parking bay, nobody around. I can see a phone number on the key tag, but I've got my mobile. It's going to cost like £2 a minute to make a phone call, and I'm not sure what the dialing code for the States is anyway, because I haven't bothered looking that up. So we go, well, I don't know. And I was getting my phone out, and Ginlan had just prayed at that point, said, Father, you're always with us, but we need you right now to turn up and do something special. And she walked up to the car, put her hand on the door, and opened the door. So the door was unlocked by the power of God, just because he loves us. And that was just the beginning of the journey. So here we are at the lake up the mountain, just snow-capped mountains in California when it's that hot, go figure. What an awesome place they live. And yet the town of Reading, it's about 80,000, a bit smaller than Crawley. They have one of the highest unemployment rates in California, which is one of the highest in America. They've got some of the highest deprivation rates in California. And California doesn't rate that well against the rest of the states. It's fairly middling against the rest of the states. They have huge poverty levels and crime rates. So it's just because they're in a beautiful place doesn't make it all wonderful for them. They have issues they have to deal with. So it was wonderful to go up the mountain, and we were heading down the mountain, and let's head for get some lunch. And we saw the pizza and thought, shall we pull over there? I thought, no, we really should go to Westside Pizza. So we want to go to Westside Pizza. I'm sorry that one's a little bit blurred, but here is Westside Pizza. And we found our way. Ginella's really good with the map, so I must commend Ginella. She found her way. There was times I hadn't a clue whether we were pointing north, south, east or west. You come off the freeway and you go around three times. I thought, I've no idea which direction we're going in at all. And Ginella says, go that way. And I thought, I'm convinced we're supposed to go this way, but I'll do what she says. And she got us to places. We did get a little bit lost and had to go around twice sometimes, but it was all right. So here's Westside Pizza. Now, why is Westside Pizza significant? Well, because they serve gluten-free for me. That was good. And we walk in. And the guy there is the owner, Jeremiah, and he's standing behind the counter, and he says, hi, guys, where are you from? And we say, we're from England. He says, hi, are you here for the Bethel Conference? And we say, yeah. He says, oh, your life is going to get rocked. You are going to get rocked. It's going to be awesome. And it's just very American guy. He's there. So do you want some pizza? And you know, Giller didn't fancy a pizza this big, you know. So he gives us two slices of pizza for just $4. And we get a pizza and he drinks this high that you just keep refilling. And they just fill and fill and fill until you drown in the drinks. And we see after a little while, he's talking to somebody else who's come in, and they're all very matey and chummy. And then he comes to talk to us a bit later as we're coming to finish our meal. And he says, what's with the gluten-free? I said, it's because I've got celiac disease. He said, wow. He said, do you know a girl came in here with celiac disease and she ate our pizza and she was healed? Eating our pizza. I thought, Lord, I thought I'd come here to get prayed for arthritis, and now you're talking to me about the celiac, that in this place somebody was healed. He said, oh, and Tim here, he's come from the healing rooms. He says, let's pray for you right now. And right there in the pizza restaurant, because Tim actually looked at me, he says, I can feel a pain here in my stomach. Is that you? I said, that's exactly where it really hurts a lot in your gut when you've got celiac. It really hurts. And he said, I can feel it. I said, well, that's to do with the celiac. He says, well, I believe God wants to deal with that for you this week. So really, that's now twice now within the space of a few minutes, the Lord says, I want to deal with the celiac disease. So I'm beginning to think perhaps the Lord wants to deal with the celiac disease. So there we go. We had our pizza. We got prayed for. And off we go to the conference.
Before that, you were given something.
Oh, yes. This is important. A little thank you, Gunilla. I did bring you some reminders. He gave me, because he asked what we were doing here. And he says, oh, this book will be really good for you, written by a New Zealand guy, Andy Mason. And it's about dream culture, and they do some work in community centres and stuff and in business. So I thought, that sounds cool. So he gave me this book by Andy Mason. The book I started to read and got really blessed by, and I thought, I'd really love to meet Andy Mason. Pop that thought for a moment. So we go up and we sign up for our Bethel conference, and we decide we'll go up there a little bit early so we can go to the Alabaster House. This is what Gunilla was talking about, the Alabaster House. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can go and pray there any time you like.
Praying for the world, really.
And they just pray for the world. So that little globe thing in the there where Gunilla's fit is a fountain, and that's actually a world map on that globe. And people are lying on the floor, sitting on cushions, kneeling, standing, walking around, sitting on chairs, praying. There are always people in there praying. And you go in there and you feel instantly a touch of the presence of God. And it was just a lovely, peaceful place. So that's where Gunilla was looking out of one of those windows, seeing the fountain, which, again, I didn't bring too many photographs to bring. So we went there before, decided we'd stay there and just stay in the prayer house until the meeting started in the evening session. And we went into the evening session. Here we are. Hallelujah, we're here. I cannot tell you how excited I was, how much anticipation I had of what the Lord was going to do. And the speaker on the first night is Chris Valaton, one of their, he's kind of second in command at Bethel. Guy I love dearly. He's just awesome. He's a prophetic guy. He's very, very sharp in ministry. And I always thought his wife must be awesome. Always wanted to meet his wife, because when you read Chris's books, you know he's had a difficult life. And they fell in love when they were 12 years old. And he's maybe 60 next year, I think, Chris. So they've been together all that time. And they've had some difficult times, and I think this, what an amazing woman of God she is to be with him all this time and to cope with the things that they've gone through in their life. So I thought, I'd love to meet them. Well, the Lord had lots of meetings for us, lots of significant meetings. I did get prayed for by Chris and Kathy Valaton, and I told her what I thought about her, and Chris said, I agree, he thought he was an awesome woman of God, not surprisingly. And they spoke things over my life which were really important. And we go through the sessions, and there's lots and lots of things. It will take me weeks to unpack for you some of the teaching and some of the things the Lord's shown us. Things that speak to us here in the community centre, things that speak to us as a church and us as individuals. But still having this sense of, Lord, you want to do something about this celiac disease. Because I've been prayed for once, and I'm thinking, well, I don't know. I'm not brave enough to eat something, because I can get quite ill if I eat something wrong. How do I know? If a pain's gone, a pain's gone, isn't it? But how do I know? Well, on the Friday evening, we knew Bill Johnson, the senior pastor, was going to have some healing going on. And, you know, the power of testimony is huge. That's why I encourage people to share testimony. Thank you, Dave, for wanting the kids to share. Because in the power of testimony is the spirit of prophecy. It's that which actually calls forth that which Jesus wants to do in our lives. And Bill really believes in testimony. And it's really important. You will always hear testimony there. Well, on the Friday night, so this is our testimony, we'd already saved our seats in the auditorium because we like to try and sit kind of like we do here, sit in the same sort of place, you know, but we liked aisle seats so you could get out. If there's anything happening, you could get out quick and get up to the front for the worship or prayer or whatever. And we gradually through the week managed to move slowly forward in the seats as we got used to the systems of saving seats. Friday night, we're saving seats. We wanted to go to the prayer meeting that they have an hour of prayer before any service. And this service had been opened up to anybody who wanted to come, because if it's a major healing thing, Bill likes everybody to have the chance to come. The prayer meeting beforehand is literally out of this world. Literally out of this world. It's just one awesome hour of seeing the power of God fall on people's lives just constantly through the prayer meeting. Seeing people paralytic drunk in the power of the Holy Spirit within seconds of being touched by the Lord. Just an amazing thing. Well, before we went in, I thought, I'll stand in the queue to get in the room just because I want to drop my bags. I don't want to be lumbered with the bags in the prayer meeting. And as we stood in the queue, stood next to this lady at the top in the top picture there and her husband. And she said, oh, hi, are you here for the conference? It seems to be the pattern greeting. And said, yeah, yeah. She says, oh, we were here a year ago. Said, do you know what? I was healed of celiac disease a year ago and we've come back to celebrate the year's anniversary. I thought, Lord, you're just really trying to get my attention here. So I said to her, and she had another digestive problem that meant she really had no energy to do anything. She did 3 hours a week service in a care home for pregnant moms, wasn't it? And she'd plan a whole week around that 3 hours because that's about all she could cope with. Her name's Faith, by the way. So Faith comes to me and said, I've been healed of celiac disease. Husband Lance there, we'll expand the story slightly in a minute. I said, how did you know that you were healed? She said, well, people prayed for me, but I just had to have a word. And she got a very specific word that came to her, and she knew that she'd been healed. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll go with that. And as I went in, I said, Lord, if you want to tell me that I'm healed of celiac disease, I want to hear Bill Johnson, when he calls out words of knowledge at the beginning, I want to hear him use the word celiac. I don't want to hear him say digestive disorders or anything. I want to hear him say celiac disease. I want to hear him say that. And I'll know that this is my moment for you to do this, Lord. I think in watching Bill now for nearly 2 years, I've only ever heard him speak that word once. And that's over many, many times. So we go in, drop our bags, come back to the prayer meeting later. Now, the testimonies that were being shared at the beginning of the meeting are just break your heart. Just the power of God changing people's lives. A little boy from Norway who was bound to a wheelchair. He couldn't eat anything at all. He had to be intravenously fed. And they brought him back a year after he'd been prayed for. He's riding a bike and doing snowboarding and stuff because he was totally healed. And it was just an awesome, awesome testimony. But Bill starts, he said, we've been seeing a lot of things happening with head traumas. People have been in accidents and he gave one testimony of a young girl who had a really serious injury. She kept falling into comas that could last 2 months and all kinds of things. And she got completely healed and her facial features were even restored to how they were before the accident as they prayed for her. And just quite incredible miracles. And so he's talking about head trauma and things in the brain and how this is something they're going to go after. And then he stopped, he turned and he paused for a moment. He turned to his left and said, I've just heard something about celiac disease. I grabbed Gunilla's leg like, ah, what's going to happen? And he called Faith forward to give her testimony. And then so Faith and Lance were talking at the front. And then he said, if that's you, to your feet now. So I just slunk it. No, I didn't. I shot up like a rocket. And then the way they pray for the sick there in the congregation is he will say, okay, family, you know what to do. Just gather around and pray for these people. So people who are around you just start to pray. Now, one of the leaders who's their chief financial officer, a guy called Steve De Silva, I'd spent some time with him the previous afternoon. Really good guy. He's an accountant, so we kind of touched hearts, you know, a little bit. It was really good. And he starts coming down the center aisle, and he's just touching people as he comes down. And he sees me standing there because he'd already prayed for us and given us a word. And he sees, and he comes past, and he put his hand on my stomach, and a bolt of power from the Holy Spirit just went through my midsection. I felt it, and I creased over and started laughing, which is terrific fun in the Holy Spirit. But I just knew, I knew that this was the end of the celiac disease. It was gone. Lance there Now, if you remember, I had surgery a couple of years ago for bone spurs growing through the nerves in my shoulder. Lance here has got bone spurs growing from his centre section of his spine, growing into the nerves in his spine, and he's in a lot of pain. And when we shared the stories, he said, "Ian, I want you to pray for me at some point, because I believe this is his time for being healed." And we'll roll on to the side. The next morning, by the way, down to breakfast, and the blueberry muffin went down very nicely, thank you. We went to a restaurant that specialised in pies later in the day, because one of my favourite things was pie, and I haven't eaten a decent pie for 5 years or something. So, and you know, they want you, do you want it to go? No, I want to eat it here. I don't want to wait for this. You know, I want to eat this pie. So that was just good fun and a blessing from the Lord. But the Sunday morning service, so this picture is in Sunday morning service because they were sitting next to us. I'll let Gunilla just speak briefly about the other two young ladies. So we're sitting in Sunday morning service, having gone to the we're going to the 8 o'clock service in the morning, I want you to understand. The band have been practicing from about 6:45. The prayer meeting starts at 7, and 1,400 people rock up to church at 8 o'clock. That's 200 in overflow, okay? 8 o'clock. So they come sit next to us. That's really nice. But in the meeting beforehand, I'd really felt as we prayed, I felt heat coming in my hands. I'd felt heat, and it felt like there was just gentle flames, not really hot, but gentle flames burning in the palms of my hands. And I said, "Lord," as he said, "I want you to lay hands on Lance later and burn off those bone spurs." So I thought, okay, Lord. So then they came sat next to us. And then as the service started and stuff went on, then I just felt the right moment and just prayed for him. And praise God, through prayer, not just me, through other prayers, he did get healing. And he was able to move his neck and stuff for the first time for a long time. Now, while the morning service is going on, now remember a book. I talked about a book written by a guy called Andy Mason. And I'd read a bit more of it and found out the pizza restaurant features in the book. but in the morning service, stand up at the greet someone you don't know is where Bill always starts. And there's a young family sitting in front of us. And the guy turns round and I look and said, "You're Andy Mason, aren't you?" He says, "Yeah." He's sitting right in front of us. This guy, I said, "Lord, I'd like to meet this guy. He's sitting in front of us." And I said, "I'm so blessed by your book. Thanks, mate. I just really appreciate it. But what's the curriculum you're using in community centres and schools?" He says, "Oh, you mean this?" So he gave me, he just handed that to me and gave me that out of just the goodness of his heart. But then Bill said, at one point, he says, "Is Ian Johnson here? Where are you?" So my name got mentioned off the platform at Bethel. I'm like, oh, wow, holy or what? It's just amazing. Just amazing. He said, "And where's Faith?" And we both put our hands up. He said, "Oh, you're both sitting together." He said, "Well, here we go. This is the attention of the Holy Spirit coming back to say he wants to deal with digestive orders. So who's got a digestive order this morning? Stand up. We're going to pray for healing." Who stands up? Andy Mason's wife, standing right in front of us. She's got a digestive order. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? The Lord puts these things together. That's a little story of how my books and my week and the people I met and how an incurable disease has been blown away by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I've put on a few pounds. I'm going to have to watch that. It's eating stuff I haven't eaten for years, stuff I just tried to remember what they tasted like. You know, you'd smell a Danish pastry and go, yeah, I remember how the pastry melted in your mouth and stuff, but you would never dare eat it because you knew you'd be really ill. Oh, that first, I tell you, the first mouthful of on the restaurant, they brought out, just because they do bring stuff onto the table, and they brought a big basket of garlic bread. Oh, it was magic. Oh, I put it in my mouth and I bit into this garlic bread and I cried. It was real bread, real soft bread, toasted and soaked in garlic butter. And it was like, oh, Lord, you're too good to me. You're too good to me. And it's just a really, really awesome time. We're going to finish off a little bit of the stories and go again, let you share.
Okay. Yeah, I think for me that was one of the things, you know, all those little incidents all along the way that the Lord was just blessing us and blessing us. That was just so awesome. And oh dear, I picked up another word that they keep saying. Everyone said, "Oh, it's awesome, it's awesome." But I can't have the, I'm not good with the accents. But these other two ladies there, they were, I think, they lived in Switzerland. I think that might come from Germany, but they certainly lived in Switzerland, and they'd come from the conference as well. And that, again, is another little incident where the Lord just put things together. Because on the I think it must have been the first night, so on the Wednesday, after the meet. No, it must have been on the Thursday, because it was, you know, in the prayer room before the evening meeting. We'd gone in to pray, and I'd walk around, and the atmosphere, you know, when lots of people come together with faith, it just creates an atmosphere. I think in the first meeting during the worship time, it was sort of like, it's so heavy, but in a good way. It's so heavy in here, you can hardly stand up, because the presence of God was just so tangible. And it was like that in the prayer rooms. And I was walking around praying, and then we sort of sat down, and just wave after wave. And I sort of read about this so often. You hear people that the Holy Spirit comes in waves after waves, like washing over you. And I was sitting there, and I was just praying, and I was just, it was just coming and coming and coming like that. And that was just an awesome time in the room. But then, the next morning, at the greeting time again, these people, they were sitting in front of us, these two ladies, and as they turned around to greet us, the lady said, "Oh, it's you! I saw you in the prayer room last night, and I've got a word from the Lord for you." And there he was, he placed her. 800 people in the conference, but they were sitting in front of us because the Lord had a word that he was going to give through her. And she said, "I saw you there, and you had balls, like two balls in your hands. One was red and one was blue, and so one is symbolizing the prophetic and the other one healing. And you can throw those balls gently, just like in dancing." And okay, right, I'll take that on board. And then later she said, "Oh, and the Lord's saying, the best is yet to come. You're going to be like a girl with the eyes popping open because of what you're going to see the Lord do." So, you know, we've seen some of that, but there's more to come. And that's what I then said late at that last meeting on the Sunday night, the last meeting we went to when we were praying for one another, the lady on my side, and she said, "Oh, I've got these words." She said, "Dance. Are you a dancer?" And I said, "Well, I'm a bit worried about dancing, really." But actually, later on, as I thought back on these things, when I was a little girl, my dream was to be a ballet dancer. But I thought, "Oh, I'm just too clumsy, and I haven't got the rhythm. I could never be that." But the Lord just reminded me of a dream. So dance. But this lady had said, you know, the previous time, "You're going to throw those balls like in dancing." And then the lady said, and the other word is water. And of course, the Lord had really spoken to me through the water in the fountain right at the beginning. And she said, and the last word is ball. Again, coming back to just confirming what had been told me before. And, you know, the Lord is just so awesome in that those kind of things.
I want to try and, because I'd like to share a bit of the word of courage. We did go back to Westside Pizza on the Sunday between meetings to just tell them that what the Lord had done. And they said, "We've got a busy day because of the World Cup, we're going to be making lots of pizza." So he gives a huge hug and some more pizza. And there's one guy standing at the end of the counter, and he's folding boxes because they're expecting to get a lot of takeaway orders. And he's folding boxes like crazy. And then he stops folding, and he walks up. He says, "The Lord's just spoken to me. Give me a word for you." In the pizza restaurant. And he opens it up, and he said, "The best is yet to come." He said, "Ian, you've got an Abrahamic call on your life," which goes to the prophecy I had before about being a father in business, a father in the community, and so on. He said, "You'll be teaching others." I thought, "Well, you don't know me at all." And Jean Darnell said that over me in 1976, that the Lord would take me around the world to teach others. He says, "And things you touch will turn to gold. The Lord will bless what we do." And he put some scriptures on that. And it was just, you know, he's folding pizza boxes. Mm-hmm. And he gets a word and comes over and shares with us. That's the goodness of God. That's how we didn't want to come back. But we did want to come back. because we missed you guys. But it was it's awesome. There's lots more, and the Lord wants to do this kind of stuff here, right here, right here, because we belong to the same church. That's not a church somewhere else and there's us. We are one church. Mm. We are one church, and this is happening all over. Bill and the others are saying we're just amazed by what's happening in England, and we kept meeting people, like one of the girls in the testimony who was gathering testimonies, because we went to healing rooms on Saturday. Another story for that one. And she said, oh, I married a guy from Kent. There's some really good stuff happening in Kent, she said. I said, yeah, we know. We've seen that too.
And the guy his wife was from Kent.
So one girl, her husband was from Kent. And no, from Nottingham, actually, because I mentioned Liz.
Okay.
His wife from Nottingham. I said, that's a good place. I said, we know somebody who's in Nottingham at the moment. So there were just lots of things. At work, I've had an email from a guy in Japan. He wants to come and visit us at work from Japan. I thought, oh, I don't know much about Japanese protocol and stuff. And there were 21 nations out there, 800 people, 21 nations of people represented. A guy from Egypt, praise God, and people from China and stuff. One young lady from Japan thought, that'd be cool to just meet her and just get her to look at the email this guy sent and just talk to her, just for the fun of it, really, from Japan. And I thought, oh, I don't know. Anyway, I was sitting down reading Andy Mason's book, and she comes over to me. She says, hi, I'm Narissa. I said, yeah, I know, you're from Japan, aren't you? She says, yeah. And we created a little bit of a relationship with her. She did come over to Gunilla to make sure Gunilla didn't think she was trying to chat me up, because, you know, I'd like to think a lovely young lady would just think I was just so gorgeous, but no, it wasn't really that. She came because I was holding this book, and but she did come to talk. Again, just honouring culture that there is, and... when she saw I'd got healed, she fought her way through the 800 people to just come and throw her arms around me to celebrate the goodness of God. Mm. And there were other meetings. There's a lady who's usually high up in aid work in the States and is working there. And I've got her in my, because she wants to hear what we're doing here in Broadfield, because there are things we're doing here in Broadfield they think that'll help them. So there you go. It's just amazing. So there you go, Golden Gate Bridge, as we flew out on our way home. Did try to snap a few pictures out of the plane window, because it was a 10.5-hour flight, and a little time after this they blacked out the whole plane and you were meant to sleep. Kind of you were meant to.
That's as much as you saw of San Francisco.
And that's about all the San Francisco we saw. But, you know, in the goodness of God and the things he does, there's just some really, really good things. I've got a present here. Chris Vallotton, who's the prophetic guy, writes a lot of books, and there's a book he's written called The Supernatural Ways of Royalty, and he's changed it to be a children's book, and it's been illustrated, and so he's written in this one to Diane with love from Chris, so for your kids. So we've got a couple of messages that we've given as freebies as well. Attaining Our Inheritance, Dawna De Silva. Don't know if that resonates with anybody. Preparing for Your Real Enemy is Steve Backlund.
Anybody,
they're freebies, so we'll put them on the table. If anybody wants to listen to those, we'll put them out on the table. And that was just really, really good. They're always giving stuff away there, by the way. What does the kingdom look like? I'm going to try and rush this on very, very quickly now. You heard the story about the Muslim family. Same guy, so in Reading, here, this African-American lady who had been in gang culture for years and decided she wanted out of it and wanted better because she got three children and turned state's evidence. But because she turned state's evidence, she needed to be put somewhere safe. So they put her in Reading, because like they say, who'd want to go to Reading? Like people say, who'd want to go to Crawley? You know, who'd want to go to Reading to find her? So she's put in this place in Reading with her three children, and the kids go out to play in the park, and there's a bigoted white lady who lives there just across the park, and she keeps abusing this woman, shouting at her, saying she's evil, don't play with her kids, don't go near her, she's evil, and she just torments her constantly. Well, the church go out and do a kind of Sunday school on the streets, and the kids come to the Sunday school, the three children, and they want to go to church on Sunday because they give their lives to Jesus. They're in the street. So the boss goes to pick up the children, and Mum says, well, I'd better come too. So the boss picks up the children from the tenement area and takes them up to church. And the Mum says, well, what am I going to do? And Kevin says, well, you can go to the fire starters class. That's where we put new people in, new Christians in the church. Go to fire. She says, well, I'll go to fire starters class. So she decides to go to fire starters. By the way, the fire chief had written to Kevin saying he could only start fires between November and May. Fire starters class. Don't think he quite understood the what was being done there. She goes to walk in to this place, and a guy comes to shake her hand and hold her hand, and she goes, oh no, it's just too much pain. He says, what's the matter? She says, I've got carpal tunnel in both hands. She says, and I love to knit and crochet and I can sell things, but I haven't been able to do that for so long because the pain in my hands and arms is so great. He says, well, I'm a physician's assistant, we can deal with that. He says, would you like to be healed? And she said, yes. And he prays for her right there and then, and she gets both hands and arms healed instantly by the power of God. She goes into the class and gives her life to the Lord. And she goes back to the tenements. Well, she goes to the class for 3 weeks. In the third week, Tuesday night, she wakes up with a dream, from a dream. I like having dreams where the Lord speaks. And all she was hearing was lupus 34. So what's that about, lupus 34? But she felt it from the Lord and went back to sleep. The next night, she wakes up from a dream, lupus 34. Lord, I don't understand. What's this about? Third night. Seems like Samuel in the temple, doesn't it? And she hears lupus 34. And she says, Lord, what was this about? And then she realized this woman who's been abusing her, this racist woman, lives at number 34. So she goes back to sleep. And then she wakes up and she is just touched with the power of the Holy Spirit in such a way she's just absolutely trembling. So she thinks, I'm going to go over to number 34. She goes over to number 34 and knocks on the door. And the woman opens the door. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Don't come round near my door. Don't come here. And she said, does the word lupus mean anything to you? And the woman goes, oh, she said, I went to the doctors on Tuesday. And they said, I had lupus and it's incurable and it could kill me. So this three-week-old Christian woman said, I know someone who can deal with that. Would you like to be healed? And the woman goes, yes, I'd like to be healed. So she prayed for her to be healed. Next Tuesday, the lady's gone back to the hospital and had more tests. And the doctor said, we don't understand what's happened. We confirmed lupus last week, but there's nothing there. You're completely healed. So the next morning in the playground in the tenement area there, this woman comes out, I'm healed, I'm healed. And she's shouting to all the other mums in there, if you want to get healed, if you've got something wrong, come here right now, come and get healed right now, come and queue up here. 10 mums with their kids queued up then, and they all got healed by this three-week-old Christian. That's revival. That's revival. That's what we see. And that's what they're beginning to see. What is revival? What does the kingdom... The conference is called Kingdom Culture Conference. What does the kingdom culture look like? Righteousness, which is just doing the right stuff. And the right stuff is healing the sick, raising the dead, all that sort of stuff, living right. It's peace. What is peace? It's not... we're not doing anything. Peace is being in agreement. When people make a peace pact in a war, they come in alignment with one another, don't they? They actually make an agreement that they don't want to fight anymore. There's an agreement. Peace is where we have an agreement with God because of what Jesus has done for us. We can be at peace with God because of what Jesus has done. We can be in alignment with God. And of course, there's joy, righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And it's legal to laugh. Very un-British. It's legal to laugh. I did it a few times while we were there because I just could not help it. Just could not help it. Revival starts with renewal, but it has to be given away, otherwise it dies. And too often we've seen renewals come and people don't get out and give it away like this lady did in that testimony. But if we give it away, it will carry on. It's personal because it starts in our own lives. And then it touches our neighbours and then it goes global. You know, it feels like she wants to say something there.
Just saying that, you know, the giving away, this is where we come back to what we heard right at the beginning about courage. we need courage, don't we? To, you know, so often we think, oh, I haven't got the courage, I can't do it. But again, that's a gift from the Holy Spirit to give us courage. And we were actually prayed for, again, that was right at the end, wasn't it? When Bill was sort of saying, of course he had talked about...
Jonathan
going to battle, just the two of them against the whole army, and you know, really wasn't it because he had a mantle of courage on him. And then they said, we're going to pray for a mantle of courage, and I went up and got prayed for, I got a mantle of courage, and we're going to have to use that. We're all going to need a mantle of courage to do what we need to do. But it's a gift from God.
It is a gift. So I'm going to preach a 3-minute sermon, if it's possible now, which would be a miracle, wouldn't it, for me? So that story in 1 Samuel 14, we haven't got time to read it because it'll take a good 5 minutes to read it. But Samuel is out with his armor bearer. The Israelites have been fleeing from the Philistines. The Philistines are encamped on mountains about. Jonathan is in a valley, right? With his armor bearer. Just Jonathan and his armor bearer. So the equipment dude, you know, the roadie, not a soldier, the roadie carrying the equipment, and Jonathan. They're in a very strong strategic position as far as warfare goes. Not. They're in the valley. The Philistines are on the ledges either side of them. And Jonathan says to his armor bearer, I think God will give these people into our hands. What do you reckon? And the armor bearer says, well, if it seems good to you, let's do it, he says. Let's do it. And John says, tell you what, we'll lay out a fleece. Now, here's a really good fleece. Here's the Philistines looking down upon them, ready to just hurl spears at them. Jonathan says, this is what we'll say before the Lord. If we shout to the Philistines, say, hi, guys, here we are. If they say, come up to us, we'll know that the Lord's given them into our hands and we'll go up to them and we'll defeat them. But if they don't say come up, we'll know it's not right. We'll stay where we are. What a ludicrous fleece. You're going to go up the cliff face to an army that's already entrenched above you. There's quite a lot of them. And there's two of you and one of them's not a soldier. And the fleece he lays out before the Lord is, if they say come up to us, we'll go up because the Lord's given them. They crawl up, it says in the word, on hands and knees. Hands and knees. The armor bearer, the guy with the weapons, remember, the armor bearer, is behind Jonathan. They crawl up on hands and knees. The Philistines are laughing and mocking them. It's a bit of a climb. Obviously, it's on hands and knees. Jonathan tops the climb. Where's the weapons? Coming up behind. By the time the armor bearer comes up, 20 Philistines have fallen in front of Jonathan. And the armor bearer comes up and says, surely the Lord's given them into the hands of Israel. And he whips out a sword and they carry on and the Philistines flee before him. That's what you call outrageous courage. A mantle of courage. Now the outcome of that, when you read towards the end of the chapter, what had happened in Israel is that quite a lot of the people of Israel had gone over and joined the Philistines. They thought, do you know what? We're better off in the Philistine army. At least we won't get killed. And they were wearing Philistine armor and they were fighting with the Philistines. Others of Israel had gone and just hidden. They'd just gone off and hidden. We're not going to be associated with Israel. We'll just hide. What happened when they heard of this victory and the courage that Jonathan showed is that those that were in the Philistine army took off their Philistine armor and they dropped it and went and joined the armies of Philistine. Those who were in hiding came out. There are people who've been with us and been in the church over years who we think have joined the enemy's side. They've become discouraged, they've become disillusioned, they've become disappointed, and we know that even in the last 2 or 3 weeks. But in the face of extraordinary courage by those who'll stand up and say, I will fight for the Lord and we'll see a great victory, they shed the enemy's armor and return back to the fold. And those who've just hidden because they feel too timid and don't have the courage upon them are encouraged by the testimony of Jonathan and his armor bearer. And they come out and they join the armies, and the great was the victory that then ensued. In the face of courage, there'll be those who think that they were going to stay in the enemy's camp. People perhaps we've even criticized and wondered where their faith has gone. They're going to return and join. Those who are disillusioned and living in disappointment will find strength and help as we show courage in God. There you go. There's the 5-minute sermon. As we show courage in God, as we stand up and say, I choose to believe. I choose to believe in the goodness of God. I choose to step out. That, Lord, when you put someone, you put coincidence, God incidences in front of me 2 or 3 times, I'm going to trust you and do something, and I'll stand on it and I'll do it. Somebody, we don't ask people, do they want to be prayed for to be healed? We ask them, do they want to be healed? Because we know the physician will heal them. And it's there, it's right there. So this morning I'm asking you, do you want to receive an impartation of courage? Do you want a blessing? Do you want to be healed?